Good morning, St. Matthews. How are we all? Are we smiling behind our masks? We are. Great. Have you noticed? All right, a quiz. Who noticed something different as they arrived at church this morning? Right, Daniel. We are doing the children's groups, but you may not have noticed that on your way in. Tim Lucas ought to know about it because he's got to write a check for it this week. The trees, thank you. Have you noticed how much more light on a dreary day is coming through the windows out the front because we have had our trees lopped? We have had a significant go with the trees being cut down in the gardens. So as you leave, just notice how much more visible the church is, and you see bits you've never seen before. So yes, enjoy that. A big welcome to you if you're worshipping with us in the building, if you're worshipping with us online, live, or if indeed you're watching it again at some other stage during the week. You are very welcome. It's good to be worshipping with you. The general rule is the words come up on the screen. I say the words in white. You respond with the words in yellow. And we're going to see how that works in our words of opening worship and welcome. So let's stand together. Be joyful always. Let us pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we are going to praise the Lord in the words of our first song. We are, of course, not going to be singing it. And as I told 9 o'clock, we had a letter from the diocese this week, which said that even humming behind your mask is not allowed. I'm passing that on. So we are going to share in. You can clap, you can dance, you can do whatever, you just can't sing. Give me joy in my heart. Very much. Well done. Do sit down. We are going to come to our time of saying sorry to God for things that we have done. Because let's face it, we know that we are not the best that we can be, are we? And we know that God loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us like that. He wants to help us change. So he asks that we come to him saying sorry for what we've done, and that he will forgive us, and then we can start afresh and move on in our lives. So we're going to do one of those confessions which requires us doing some action. So I wonder if, first of all, you can make a fist, please. Don't do anything with it, though. Don't make it connect with anything. So, as we come to God, we confess our sins. We make a fist and we say, we are sorry, God, for the times we have got angry with other people. Then point away from yourself. Dear God, we are sorry for the times we have blamed others and seen things wrong in others without recognizing how much is also wrong in us. Close up your hand and put it on your chest. Almighty God, we're sorry for the times we have kept things selfishly to ourselves and not been prepared to share them with other people. Put your hand close to your mouth. We are sorry for the foolish words we have spoken, which have hurt other people. Put your hands over your ears. We are sorry for the times when we've not listened to the cries of those who are poor or who suffer injustice. And then we say together. Well, Jesus says, if you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. So we bring all that we are to Jesus, all our sins and our failure to love. And we can say, thank you that you died for us so that we might be forgiven and start a new life in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Great. As Daniel helpfully told us, today is the first day, and in fact, as we'll find out, the last day, in which we are going to hold our children's group. Slightly different arrangements, but it's brilliant that we can do that again. You'll go out a bit later than usual, so don't get itchy feet quite yet. I want you to listen to the Bible reading, and I want you to listen very carefully. There's quite a lot of words that are repeated, but there's a word that we have already sung, there's a word we've already said, and there's a word that's going to appear at least twice in our Bible reading. And our Bible reading is going to be read by Janice Price, who will be known to some of you, but not all of you. Janice is an ordinand, which means she's trained, like Jen, she's training to be a reverend. And she is being placed with us. She's going to be here for 2 months, or she's going to be sitting at home on Zoom or at the end of a computer for 2 months. But it's great she's here in person, so you know that she does exist. So she's going to be around and doing stuff in the next 2 months. We really welcome her and thank her for doing our reading this morning. Thanks,
lovely.
Janice.
Thank you, Helen. And we're reading from Luke's Gospel and chapter 10. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I am going to mess up the people on the vMix operation, and I'm going to go to the slide after the one you thought you were going to show, please. We will come back to the other one, and the next one, sorry. Brilliant, thank you. Sorry about that, remind me if we don't come back to it. So, who heard the word that we've already sung, we've already spoken, and Janice, I think, said twice, or she did if she'd read my version, my translation of the Bible, but she said it quite a lot anyway. Right, anybody listening out for that word? Good. Houghtons were paying attention, delighted to hear it. Sophie?
Rejoice.
Good, yeah, rejoice. I was thinking of a slightly different word, a smaller word than rejoice.
Joy?
Yeah, brilliant, good, on you. Thank you, excellent. Today we are thinking about joy. Who has enjoyed half term? Who has done some nice things in half term they want to tell me about? Oh, hands literally quickly went down then. Anyone else? Oh, Anna, let's hear. Oh, yes, Anna, I think I might even know what your news is. Tell us what your news is quite loudly so I don't have to get too close.
I got my puppy.
Got a puppy. Now, that is something for rejoicing, isn't it? It wouldn't be if it was me, but for you, I bet it is a massive thing to rejoice about. Daniel, what about your half term? How was yours?
It was good. We went last Friday, we went on a shopping spree in Kingston.
Oh, that shows your mother up. That's the one thing she didn't want you to mention, Daniel. Good on you. Well done. What about all that nature you took in and visiting grandparents and things like that? Charlotte, what do you want to tell us about your half term?
I went to a sushi place and the sushi came around on a conveyor belt, and we did loads of shopping in Smigle recently.
So you've done shopping, and I love the fact that we have... How old are you, Charlotte? I love eight-year-olds being into sushi. I'm 58 and I haven't got into sushi yet, but you're leading the way, Charlotte, so well done. Thank you. Sounds like lots of you had good half terms. I want to ask you another question. Do you think you can be joyful and sad at the same time? What do you think? Anna, do you think you can? You think you have been. Oh, well, that's even better. Joyful and sad at the same time. Good. I think you're right. How many times does the word happy appear in the Bible? You don't have to give me an exact number. Anyone else apart from Daniel? Anybody else brave enough? Or Sophie? Right, Jill's given me an answer. Jill reckons zero. So does someone else. I'm not absolutely sure, but often it's not a word that appears very often. They often tend to use words like joy rather than happy, don't they? I want to tell you a little story. Sometimes when I feel a bit sorry for myself... I can take this off, can't I? What a relief. When I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself, I think, I'm meant to be joyful. I'm a Christian. I'm meant to feel joy, but I don't want to. I want to indulge this feeling miserable. And I've decided, as a result of thinking about this week, what is going to help me is the question that's going to come up on the screen now. If we think joy stands for Jesus or you, I'm going to suggest to all of us, children particularly, but actually I think it's a great lesson for adults, it certainly is for me, that the question we need to perhaps ask ourselves when we're in that mood is, are we thinking about Jesus or are we thinking about ourselves? Because if we're miserable and we're thinking about ourselves, then we will stay pretty miserable, won't we, probably, if we're having a bad day. But if we're a bit miserable and we think, actually, Let's think about Jesus. Let's think about what Jesus has done for us. Let's think about Jesus' promises for us, who Jesus is, how he can help us, and how he's helped, and how he's a friend, and how he's always there for us. I think that might help us to think more about joy than about being miserable. So I suppose that's what I want all of us. We're thinking about joy today, and I want us to think about that really simple question, Jesus or you? Okay? I think you might be thinking about that in your groups a little bit if you go out to the children's groups, and we're going to think about it a bit later. But there are some people who are joyful because it's their birthday in November. Now, I know about a few birthdays, and there's at least one person here who I'm expecting to stand up on a pew any minute, because it's Anna's birthday on the 20th, isn't it, Anna? Yes, I also know it's Thomas Barrett's birthday on the 12th. It's Elliot's on the 7th. No, Elliot, that's fine. And also Olivia de Borgia is one today. Isn't that lovely? But we're also celebrating your mum's birthday, and we're celebrating Judith Mackey's birthday. Anybody else have a birthday in November? Ed, good. You'll be very tall when you stand on a pew. So St. Matthew's tradition is, if it's health and safety allowed, you stand on the pew and we listen to happy birthday being played to you. So, Anna, are you going to stand on the pew? I've got to get this right. That is Samara. It's your birthday. Oh, it's your mum's birthday. Niluma, brilliant. You're going to stand on the pew, aren't you? Because you'd love to. Yes, it's a whole year since you did it last. So on your feet, we will listen to happy birthday. Go on, Ed, go for it. And Anna, go on, Niluma. You know you want to. Kick off, Nigel. Thank you. Olivia and Elliot and Thomas and Hannah and Isabel and Judith M and Ed and Niluma. Well done. Woo! A very happy birthday to you all. Thank you. I also just want to show you the next picture, which is to welcome a new arrival. Actually, this is Edith, and she is a member of the Board family, and she is younger sister to Charlie, who I hear is being a very good elder brother. Good on you, Edith, and Charlie. It's great to see you as part of St. Matthew's family. And I also heard last night on our Zoom call that the Brooks family also welcomed Joel just 6 days ago. So welcome to them. Let's just have a prayer for them. Yeah, round of applause for them. Thank you. We'll just say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for every member of the St. Matthew's Church family. And we welcome this morning Edith and Joel, and welcome them to the world and to this place and to this family. We pray for them to grow up safely and well, and we pray for their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I think I've got myself a bit confused. I think we are now at the stage where we have an action song. We are, good. So, it's one of my favorites. So we have our singers back. It's Tell Me Who Made All of Creation. So let's stand, clap, do a bit of a jig if you fancy it. But whatever you do, don't sing. Unless you're at home, in which case, sing loudly and enjoy it. Thank you. everybody. Round of applause as you sit down. So, our children are about to go to their groups, but we need to do it in an organised fashion. And we're going to pray first. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the children of our church. We thank you that this morning they are meeting in their groups. We particularly ask you to bless them and their leaders as they go to hear more about you and your love for them in their groups together. We pray for your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you are an explorer, so if you're in school years 3 to 6, ooh, Anna, that's you now, isn't it, as well? Oh, good. Can you make an orderly walk to the back of the church where you will be directed where to go, and you will be asked to just keep a bit aware of distance, please, and you will be asked to sanitize your hands as you leave the, as you go into your room. Have a great time. So that's explorers are going off to their group. Pauline, if you let them go in, they're going to go do it in the porch. Thank you. So they can go out and sanitize their hands there. That's brilliant. And so anybody else is either a climber or an scrambler or a pathfinder. And if you're any of those, then again, making a distance carefully, do go out towards the back, and you will again be shown where to go. Thank you very much. What's going to happen is that the children will have a good time, and hopefully they all arrive with their pencil cases, but I haven't seen many, but hopefully they have. They're going to have a good time in their groups, and they're going to come back for the final hymn, so you will have your children back with you in the pew in order that you can leave with them. Please don't leave them behind. Oh, yes, let's show my slide. Ah, that one. I was slaved over that. So that's really just trying to encourage the fact that we're trying to keep our children in touch with each other, with their group leaders. As I say, regretfully, only for 1 week, but still, we've done it for a week. We are going to now say our creed together. So can I invite you to stand? We are all held in the hollow of God's hand. Loved children of the universe, born from the life which flows from God, freed to the fullness of God's creation with all its beauty and variety. We are all worth dying for in Christ Jesus, all called to risen life in Christ's rising. The way of Jesus gives us footprints for our following. We are all called to new things in the Spirit, in the hope that stirs in unlikely moments, the warmth that we touch in the coldness of our need, and the opening of our hearts to adventures in belonging. Amen. Thank you. Do sit down. Aren't they some great words there? I love the idea. Opening our hearts to adventures in belonging. Just a few notices to say that this afternoon we have our service of remembering and thanking at 5 p.m. If you would still like to attend that and you haven't let us know, then please talk to me. We just need to make sure there's space for you. But if you don't want to come along, it is being live streamed, so you will be able to watch it in the usual way from the link on the front of our website at 5 p.m. this afternoon. Also to say with the next slide, please, we have our Zoom away morning. That's the equivalent of 2 weeks yesterday, 9:30 to 11:30. Of course, when we booked it, we didn't realise that you would all be sat at home on a Saturday morning. So we'll be looking forward even more to a look up, look out opportunity. We're going to do it on Zoom. That's why it's called a Zoom away morning. So please do email the office or me if you're going to join it, and we'll give you the details to join. And it would just be good to spend a couple of hours doing slightly different church stuff, encouraging us to look beyond our present condition and situation and to look up and look out. So that's 2 weeks yesterday. Do get in touch if you want to join it. Thank you. To say we're still obviously just taking into account what was said last night in terms of the restrictions. What's very clear is that we can't hold services in church. We can, though, broadcast from church. So we have just got to work out quite how that will work out and what that will mean. I'm not sure what the services pattern is going to be because it's a finite time. We might try something different, so please do look on the website during the week and we will make it very clear when the services will be next Sunday and the following few Sundays. But you won't be able to attend in person here. The guidance seems to suggest that the church can be open for individual prayer. But when we did that in the summer, to be honest, it wasn't a popular option. I'm not sure if it would be more popular in lockdown or less popular in horrible weather. So if you've got views on that, if you say, well, I will definitely be there, or no, I won't be coming, or have you thought about this, or whatever, we are all learning. It's all new for all of us. So if you've got any ideas or input, then drop me an email, and I can't promise to take it into account, but it will be useful to have your feedback about that. But as I say, definitely no services in church next week, but definitely, definitely online in the morning at some time. I think those are all our notices. There's a notice sheet I will give you as you leave. Great. So I think we now return to our sermon. We wanted the sermon series to think about. Can we have the previous one or not? Doesn't matter. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. So this is our sermon series for November. 7 whole days, our vision about being 7 whole day faithful and faith-filled Christians in a time of COVID. And this morning we're thinking about joy. And it seemed really appropriate to think about joy on the same day as All Saints Day, which we commemorate today. Those All Saints, you know, the saints who were like giants of the faith who have gone before us. But I guess you may now be thinking, why on earth, how on earth can you be thinking about joy? I have to say, when I was writing the sermon earlier in the week, I could hear Simon leading the Star and Garter sing-along, which he does, on a Wednesday, and they were actually singing, "Oh, I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside." And it just felt slightly incongruous. Tuneful and lovely though it was, it felt slightly incongruous. And perhaps you're thinking to talk about joy this morning feels completely incongruous as we head into another national lockdown. Maybe you feel there's a real sense of jarring about that. But I want to challenge that, and I think perhaps it's the best possible time to be talking about joy. I hope you take away the joy question, Jesus or you, as being like the best thing, you know, the nutshell to take away this morning. But I want to unpack it a little bit more for you now. And I want to be very clear, when we talk about joy in this sense, we're not talking about, you know, everyday merriment. That's something different. We're talking about joy here as celebration of life and what is life-giving. And for the early church, joy was very much part of sort of how they understood themselves to be. I'm not saying they had a great time all the time, but they understood joy to be really central. One commentator wrote that joy was the believer's condition. And St. Paul wrote reams about joy. He wrote about it in his letters, particularly. In Philippians, he wrote about, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And he wrote that from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then in the letter to the Romans, Paul writes this. He says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And what St. Paul was doing there was challenging the Jewish believers who turned to Christ, saying, you used to find your joy as Jews in eating and drinking, in public celebrations, in the temple cult, and in festivals. And now we are encouraging you to find joy through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So it's a complete sort of turning away in direction. And Paul is extending this idea of joy from what we read in the Gospels, and particularly in the Gospel of Luke and then in the story of Acts. If you think about the Gospel of Luke, it starts with the story of Jesus' birth. It starts with Mary's joy, the Magnificat, Elizabeth's joy, the baby leapt in her womb when she met Mary. There's the joy of the angels and the shepherds. They weren't having a good time all the time, but they felt joy at the beginning when Jesus was born and when they heard that story. And if you go to the end of Luke, at the very end, you hear about Jesus ascending, and you hear about the disciples worshipping the ascended Jesus and returning to Jerusalem. How did they return? With joy, with great joy. And I wonder if you noticed in our reading that the disciples who'd been sent out to teach and to spread the good news returned with joy from their travels, during which they'd exorcised demons. And this caused Jesus to be full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy here is about being in tune with God, what God is doing. It's about the disciples and Jesus working in collaboration with the liberating work of the Messiah, liberating people from enslavement by evil powers. And Jesus experiences that sense of fulfillment that he and they are aligned with the work of the Spirit. And that brings them joy. And there are many other examples in Luke's gospel of joy. Joy at the discovery of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. These are stories of reversal of fortunes, of transformation of the lost, of the poor, and the lonely. So we can see that Luke's gospel is full of joy, joy which comes about in response to God's work of salvation. Let's not get it wrong. Joy is a serious business. It's serious because it flows from the big story of our lives. It flows from the story that Christ Jesus died for our sins, and in his death and resurrection, he was victorious over sin. As I said, joy flows from Christ and the Spirit. And if we really believe that what happened on the cross gives us eternal life, then that's joy that makes the new way of life worth living and dying for. That's why saints, when we think of all saints today, that's why many of them as martyrs met their deaths with joy. That's why persecuted Christians today can talk about the joy in their situation. It's why James in his book writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Because joy is there, and joy is showing the sustaining work of the Spirit, especially in suffering. And expressions of joy which follow points of turning. When we're in tune with God, when we've turned from our ways, when we've turned from the you of joy to the Jesus of joy, when we do that turning around, we realize that we know what really matters. And this can transcend our earthly experiences of pain and grief and shame and ultimately death. We turn from the troubles on earth to the promises of heaven. And so it's really appropriate we think about this today when we think having our service of remembering and thanking this afternoon. But please don't get me wrong. Let's just get our bearings again. We talk of joy, not of merriment. Anna said she knows that you can feel joy and sadness at the same time. And I like to think of this, I'm sure it's not original, but I like to think of joy like that, being smiling on the inside. We can smile on the inside even as the tears are streaming down our faces, because the joy is expressing an alignment with the ways of God. It's not because we're having a good time. So 7 whole days in time of COVID and joy. If we're seeking to be Christians across the week, practicing 7 whole days. Our quick delve into scripture tells us that we should be joyful whatever. Joy can surpass our earthly experience, but that doesn't mean it comes easily or naturally. We actually have to work at it. And that's why Paul teaches about it and encourages so much. He reminds us that joy is expressed in healing, in hospitality, in thankful songs, in shared feelings. He reminds us that joy and peace are often a pairing that come together. He reminds us that joy and holiness are a pairing that come together. So as we struggle through or hide away in this time of COVID, let us remember that joy is not a feeling, but a gift from God, which becomes a responsibility for us as believers witnessing to him in the world. Let's recover joy in our language and in our thinking. If it helps, remember Jesus or you. I know this may sound heavy-handed, and I know I'm speaking to people who have recently and are currently engaging in grief and pain, and some of those people will be with us this afternoon, but I stand by it. Sometimes Christian joy may translate into a warm, fuzzy feeling of joy, but not always, by any means. I want to just leave you with a final quote, which I found really helpful. A theologian, Nicholas Lash, described joy as the felt form of Christian hope. We know what our Christian hope is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And joy is that felt form of it now. Doesn't change depending on our feelings or what's happening to us. It's a constant. It's our inheritance as believers. Inheritance along with the saints. And so let us be joyful. Amen. We come now to prayer, so let us pray. Almighty God, we think and speak of joy, and then we come to the news and think, how can we sustain that joy? We think of the family of refugees who lost their life this week on the Channel, and the thousands in refugee camps, both in France, in Greece, and elsewhere. We pray for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey. We pray for the victims of violence across the world. And perhaps as humans, we struggle to find deep joy. But Father, we praise you for the lessons on joy we find in Luke's gospel and in Paul's faithful life. Both of these left for us to learn from. Father, you command us to be joyful always. But you do not expect us to be able to figure out how to attain or retain that joy ourselves. We ask for your strength at the times when being joyful is not easy or feels impossible. Perhaps many of us are in that place right now. We pray for those for whom the notification of national lockdown this week will bring further misery and suffering. We pray for those who will face isolation, mental health issues, financial concerns, homelessness, hunger. We pray that you will be a God of consolation and comfort. and that we will take comfort and consolation to those around us, those whom we meet in our neighbourhood, in our families, in our work environment. We pray for our schools and universities and places of education as they face continuing to work as usual. We thank you for their commitment, and we pray for their safety along with the safety of all children and young people. Heavenly Father, you gave your Son Jesus to light the way to a joy-filled life. Through his earthly footsteps, we study the example he left for us to follow. Your Spirit continues to point us to love, joy, and peace. So may we be open to the Spirit's leading, that we may seek to be seven whole day Christians. Bless our hearts with sustaining joy and the strength to hold on to it, no matter what. On this All Saints Day, we say the collect together. God of holiness, your glory is proclaimed in every age. As we rejoice in the faith of your saints, inspire us to follow their example with boldness and joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As it is All Saints Day, I thought we would share together in our final hymn. So let's stand and enjoy the words. There's some great words in this hymn. I do commend them to you as we listen to the hymn for all the saints.
Thank you.
last verse. Do that anymore. But was it good to be back in a group? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Two thumbs up from Charlotte. Thumbs up. Yes, two more there, two more there. Great. Anna as well. Brilliant. Thank you, children's group leaders. We will not be meeting like this for a few weeks, but we are still a church united across space. So let's finish our service with a final prayer of blessing. Grant us who feebly struggle a heart wide open to all joy and beauty. Save our souls from being so steeped in care or so darkened by grief that we pass heedless and unseeing when even the thorn bush by the wayside is aflame with the glory of God. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen.